And W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Alec Murdoch's on the stand in Walterboro, South Carolina today, where he's being tried for the murders of his wife and son.
I'm sorry to Mags and Pawpaw. I would never intentionally do anything to hurt either one of them.
Prosecutors say Murdoch killed them to cover up financial crimes. He faces 30 years to life in prison if convicted. Harvey Weinstein faces more prison time today in L.A. CBS's Steve Futterman is there.
A jury here in Los Angeles found Harvey Weinstein guilty in December of three counts, including rape. The crimes took place during a film festival in 2013. The victim, an Italian actress and model, testified that Weinstein appeared uninvited at her hotel room. When she let him inside, he assaulted her. Weinstein's already serving a 23-year sentence following a trial in New York on similar charges.
A huge winter storm is still making its way across the country.
I'm Bruce Marcus, northern Wisconsin, which is seeing several inches of snow. It makes shoveling difficult.
Yeah, I'm not too crazy about the snow. Forced exercise.
And driving is also tough.
I have an all-wheel drive car now, and I drive very slowly. And if I see somebody coming up who doesn't understand the rules of the road, I get out of their way.
Drivers are urged to stay off the road. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is in East Palestine, Ohio today, addressing concerns about a train derailment that spilled tons of toxic chemicals.
I think just at a common sense level, you ask yourself, if there's a category called high hazard flammable train, and this train that led to that toxic cloud and that consequence to this community wasn't in it, what's going on there?
The secretary's been criticized for not responding sooner. We are marking 1 year since Russia's invasion of Ukraine soon. CBS's Charlie Daggett looks back.
Overnight, the lives of millions of people in Ukraine changed forever. Moments later, thunderous explosions echo throughout the capital and more cities throughout the country. Europe's biggest invasion since World War II was underway.
The UN warned today that China could be planning to send weapons to Russia. Milk doesn't have to come from a cow to be called milk. That's what the FDA says in a new draft rule that would allow soy, oat, almond, and other drinks to bill themselves as milk. It says plant-based beverages don't pretend to be from dairy animals, and U.S. consumers aren't confused by the difference. The rule calls for voluntary labels that note lower nutrition levels. This is CBS News.
Staples stores are a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Former Wisconsin Governor Tony Earle has died after suffering a stroke last weekend. Earle served from 1983 to 1987, leading Wisconsin out of a billion-dollar budget deficit and creating the state's Rainy Day Fund. He also made strides in Wisconsin environmental education and equal rights policy. After his political career ended, Earle became active with the government watchdog group Common Cause and chaired the Center for Clean Air Policy. Tuesday's voter turnout is a new record for spring primaries in Wisconsin. More than 960,000 people voted in the Supreme Court primary. That's almost 21% of the state's voting age population. It's also a 36% increase from the old record set just 3 years ago. In sports, the Badgers got a much-needed win over Iowa last night, 64-52. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season, From clipping your horse for competition season to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUK Radio. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke, Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margaritas shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers.
I'm Brian Kelly. How you doing, guys?
How you doing, big guy? You got the full beard. You got the full beard. It has been like you've been hidden away from me, and we haven't had the opportunity to talk into mics at the same time during the 2 o'clock hour in some time now.
Oh, I've been talking and yelling a lot. You just maybe have heard me. I just haven't had a mic in front of me. It's probably better that way. I've gone through some very busy times. Nothing horrible. Really good. All good things. Just putting together the Death Star, driving all over the state. You know,
we missed you. Yeah, you put some miles on the vehicle, getting around, setting up a lot of different aspects of the Civic Media Network here that we are growing across the state of Wisconsin. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across the state thanks to those Civic Media stations here in Madison, Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM. Brian holding down
the fort. That happened. I don't think I've been on since that happened.
Are you sure? I feel like we has it been that
maybe
long?
Once.
No, it might have been since the Charlie Radio weekend that we really haven't.
Yeah. I think that's the first time.
There may have been one Monday in there on WMDX, and that may have been it.
There was a shooting in the meantime.
There was?
Yeah, the Michigan State shooting. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there with Corey, right? We're working on the rack in the back.
Oh, there's been several shootings. There was a shooting down in Orlando last night.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that's America.
I'm behind the times on that, too. I just want to point out with that, that's a fun thing. You guys, did you know that there's an entire media now online that listens to the police scanners during live shooting events and broadcasts?
Really? Like a radio internet kind of thing, or what?
So like internet radio, the guy pulled it, like he did it like an actual journalist reporter. He confirmed everything before he reported anything. But you heard the live police scanner while he was doing a podcast.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've had an election since you and I.
We've had an election, yeah. Man, I was so worried about Jennifer Doro, and she's gone. She's not in the race anymore, so I don't have to worry about that. Dan Kelly's there, and, you know, he wears a cape and is a very not nice person. So pretty easy to kind of like, maybe Dan Kelly won't end up happening at all. So I'm feeling pretty confident there. All right, and by the way, we did some awesome coverage.
We did, and
awesome
that was
election night coverage
orchestrated by a very fantastic man behind the scenes. Brian Kelly.
Honestly, the anchors really, really kicked ass. Like, honestly, it was, there was, we kept on moving from station, person to person. Everybody had great information. And if you were ever, like, if you were ever wondering what's going on around the state, and you want to have one conglomerated live in show, listen to our election night coverage. I'm telling you, we have people around the state talking about the backstory of any local election you could possibly think of that matters. We got information by the minute, and it was great coverage. Great, great job had by all. And it's really cool coming together of the whole Civic Media Network. And we're starting to really starting to flex, but we're not even fully grown yet.
We're not, because we announced last week that we've got four more stations coming into the fold here at Civic Media.
Oh my goodness. There was
a Super Bowl since I think we were last both on the air together.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get to talk about the Super Bowl.
No. So there's lots of things that we got to catch up on. And
I really wanted to care about the Super Bowl so badly. A lot.
I was just cheering for a good game. That's all I was cheering for. And it was a pretty good game. It wasn't, the Rams-Patriots one that was, 10-3 or 13-3 or whatever that one was? That one was totally fine with me.
That was great. I was locked in the whole time. I love those defensive things.
Yeah, and it helps when you're a fan of one of those two teams.
Well, the hard part for me is differentiating which Super Bowl,
I think there was only one Rams-Patriots, though.
Two.
There were two?
When their first one against the greatest show on turf. And,
I was too young. I was too young to remember that one.
In 2001, 2002, yeah.
I fell just over a wee lad.
My uncle got married the night before, and his father-in-law was there with a mason jar. A clay jar of Patron. Like a large clay, like... ewer type of thing, like, and he came by and just kept filling my plastic cup, and I'm sitting there the whole time during the game. This is great. I'm locked in watching the Patriots, and they won, and I stood up and cheered and fell right back over the couch.
It catches up with you real fast. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us, catching up with Luke and Brian together on the airwaves here for Dueling Tangents, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. But Bri, we've also got an update on one of our favorite subjects here in Wisconsin. We thought it was going away. We thought he was done. He left with a whimper.
You wait long enough, Fred Prenn's going to come back somehow and bother the heck out of us.
It's a boomerang. We keep throwing it away, and he keeps coming back to us, Bri. But Fred Prenn back in the headlines today because no repercussions. Zero repercussions for not following open records law in Wisconsin from Fred Prenn. He resigned.
Turns out you can flaunt the law and flaunt anything and kind of get rewarded for it as long as you do it in a timely manner, in a certain timely manner, only after you get sued. And by the way, the people who are suing you don't get any money back from getting you sued. But again, all the things we know about Fred Prenn are because of open records requests.
Mm-hmm.
All the things we know about Scott Walker and everybody behind the scenes just orchestrating and basically saying, yeah, no one's going to care if you just overstay your welcome. And, you know, the new governor be damned. I'm Scott Walker, and I'm going to tell you how I'm going to rule from the grave because, my God, his political career is crap. His entire political machine has lost every other election since his last election. His son has gone out and been done everything. Man, do they lose. They are good at losing. They are worse.
Hey.
They are better at losing than a lot of bad teams.
He's got a golden parachute, though. That public reporting for... He works for a nonprofit now, the Young Americans Foundation, or Young America Foundation.
Yeah, Hitler Youth, that one.
Reagan Youth, but essentially the same thing, yes. Getting paid like $720,000 a year, his annual salary.
First job he's had for him. Good
so
for him. Congratulations.
He's failing upwards, even though his political career here in Wisconsin is not doing so hot. And... Brian, besides that, though, we also know about Open Records. Let us know about Michael Gableman. Open Records are very important here in Wisconsin, but recently they have been gutted by the current Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling that recently made it so that if you are suing, as you alluded to, in a timely manner, you decide to overturn or turn over the records that were in question, you all of a sudden kind of, it's like a gotcha moment or whatnot, and you don't actually have to face any consequences for delaying the open records to the point where the lawsuit comes, but then giving them over before a judge determines whether or not you have to turn them over? Let's dive into this story over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Yeah, let's do that. Let me just break it down really quick. If I want to get records from you, mm-hmm. right, I say, Luke, give me your records, damn it. This is crap. I need your records. And you say, nah. And then I'm like, no, really, like, you really should. And, like, with this article's written, like, maybe you should give me the records. You're like, nah, I'm not going to do that. And so, okay, great. You're a brat, so I have to sue you now to force you by law, because legally you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Legally, you are supposed to comply with open records requests.
If I was one of these government officials, yes, I would be legally required to turn over the information being sought through a Freedom of Information Act, a FOIA request.
But there's no enforcement mechanism, so that would force the person like me to say, you know what, Luke, I'm tired of your meh-meh attitude. I'm suing you. Give me your open records. Give me your records. And then in the midst of suing, before you go to court, if you just go and say, yeah, fine, here you go.
Before you could be currently in court, but then verdict being ruled yet in the case, turn them over.
As long as there's no ruling.
As long as there's no ruling, it seems like. Let's read from a Laura Schulte piece written over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Headline, a judge said a former state official violated the state's public records law. Here's why he said he could not impose any penalties. So reading from the piece, a Dane County judge cited a recent Supreme Court decision as the reason he would not hold accountable a government official who refused to turn over records when requested. Judge Everett Mitchell, who was on the ballot this past week, Brian, earlier this week for the state Supreme Court race, dismissed the case against Frederick Prenn last week, saying in his ruling that Prenn absolutely violated state open records law. Absolutely.
This guy's a jerk. He violated the law. I don't like him.
But because the Wisconsin Supreme Court, nothing we can do about it. This is a quote from Judge Everett Mitchell. There is no dispute that Prenn dishonored this commitment to transparent government. There is no dispute that he delayed access to the records of his official acts as a government official for over 1 year. And there is no dispute that he had no lawful reason to do so. Mitchell wrote in his order. Prenn's explanations to blame other government officials or to blame his own ineffective record keeping or to blame unfamiliarity with technology do not excuse him from the, quote, routine duties of officers and employees whose responsibility it is to provide such information. Mitchell, who was a candidate on Tuesday's primary ballot for Supreme Court, said the decision by the court in a case brought by Waukesha Group of Friends, Frame Park, made it impossible to penalize Prenn for delaying the release of records. The precedent set by that decision required him to, quote, reward Prenn for strategically freezing out the public's access to the records.
So basically, if I break into your house and steal something, right, and then, you know, I get arrested, maybe charged, I get out on bail or whatever, you know, whatever, and I still have your stuff the whole time, but then in the midst of you, you know, coming after me to get your stuff back, I give you the stuff. Everything's fine. No harm, no foul. It's fine.
Well, if you want to apply the case that the Wisconsin Supreme Court decided on with that case, yeah, that's essentially what happens now with public records. We're going to continue on with this story and get to a few more as well as your phone calls. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. Joined today on Thursday, Brian Kelly, Dueling Tangents with Luke
and
Brian.
Here, guys.
Reunited, and it feels so good, Brian.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Chance of scattered snow showers this afternoon, otherwise cloudy. Highs around 34, winds out of the west 10 to 20 miles an hour. Chance of snow showers again tonight. Lows dip down to about 8 above. Overcast skies. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 21. A dusting of snow today with another dusting tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers, he's Brian Kelly, and we are talking to you across Civic Media here in Madison, broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios for Mad Radio 92.7 FM WMDX 1580 AM in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM WAUK 540 AM. And around the state on your local Civic Media radio station. If you want to learn more about what we're doing here at Civic Media, head over to the website, civicmedia.us, to learn more. And seems like we're going to try to reconnect with Brian, as we may have lost him momentarily in that last segment.
Enjoy it while it lasts, folks.
I was going to say, we got one segment together, we got the boys are back in town, and then, it's you and I.
He's here in spirit.
Yeah, you and I
He's
are the
here
boys.
In spirit.
But some breaking news earlier today, for those who have not yet heard, here in Wisconsin, former Governor Tony Earle, Wisconsin's 41st governor, who championed the environment and equal rights, has passed away at the age of 86. Reading from a piece by Bill Glauber over at the Journal Sentinel, Earle, a Democrat who served as Wisconsin's 41st governor, wasn't afraid to do what he thought was right, even if it meant disagreeing with, quote, the voice of the public. I've had a hard time admiring leaders who lead by keeping their ear on the ground and their finger in the air, Earl once said. That's a pretty difficult physical posture to be in anyhow, but it's an impossible one if you expect people to be following you. Earl, who rose from the state assembly to the top administration jobs and one term as governor from 1983 to 1987, died Thursday after suffering from a stroke last weekend. Again, he was 86 years old, passed away earlier today. Today is Thursday, and we are returned by Brian Kelly. Unfortunately, I can see you, big guy, but I cannot quite hear you yet, so we'll have to figure that out. We'll get the connection going again. But former Governor Tony Earle.
Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy.
There he is. Hi, man.
Here I am.
Yeah, we've got the news earlier today, Tony Earle passing away. Wanted to let everybody know about that in the listening audience here in Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers ordering the flags across the state to be lowered to half-mast in observance of the passing away of former Governor Tony Earle. But Brian, we talking about Fred Prehn, this story about precedent here in Wisconsin now that allows individuals like Fred Prehn, who coordinated behind the scenes. We know this because of the open records that were released surrounding his 20-month overstay of an appointment on the Natural Resources Board here in Wisconsin. And he coordinated with lobbyists, with individuals working in as staff in the offices of the state senators who were directly responsible for taking up, hearing, and then voting on either a yay or nay vote on the appointment of Tony Evers' replacement, Sandra Nass, for Frederick Prent on that board. He coordinated with the past governor who appointed him to the board, former Governor Scott Walker. And it is insane to believe that what we found out through open records, how he said that, oh, I don't think he's going to really agree with me and my stance. Well, something loosely, quoting him loosely on those, but alluding to why he was overstaying his welcome. Because he didn't agree with the current governor and didn't want him to have a majority of appointees to this board.
Wow. It seems like, I don't know, maybe I just didn't remember history lessons correctly or social studies or civics in school, but I feel like what Fred Prent was doing and saying isn't democracy. You know, because, see, what happened was, I don't know if you remember this, but Tony Evers won the election.
Twice now.
Loser Scott Walker, and then won again against loser Michaels, who's, where's he now? Bye, see ya. Who cares? He doesn't care. He doesn't live in Wisconsin. Good job not electing him, which is why we have Tony Evers in charge. The people of Wisconsin decided that Tony Evers should be the governor, and guess what? Part of the governor's duties is to appoint people to these positions. And you know what, Fred Prent? I don't care. I don't care what you think about the current governor or what you think the current governor is doing. Great. Go write a blog. You have plenty of time because you're not a freaking dentist. They keep saying you're a dentist. You're not in practice. You don't. Nobody can go and get dentistry from you. You're not a freaking dentist anymore. You may own a gun shop. Who cares? Point is, you got time. Write a blog. Go and talk to people about how horrible Tony Evers is. But you know what? Don't do it blocking somebody else's appointment, because guess what? That's not democracy. And if you don't understand that, don't work in public office ever.
Yeah, don't accept the appointment in the first place. If you cannot accept at the end of the term that you were appointed to, there may be a different governor there to appoint somebody else rather than renew your appointment. That's what it boils down to. And continuing on with the Laura Schultz piece over at the Journal Sentinel, the Friends of Frame Park decision last year changed the definition of what it means to prevail in a lawsuit to obtain public records from a government office or agency, making it harder for the party bringing the suit to be reimbursed for attorney's fees after records are returned. In that case, the park group sued the city of Waukesha for withholding a draft contract related to efforts to bring a summer league baseball team to the city. The court ruled that because the city produced those records before a judge took action on the lawsuit, the group could not recover fees. So again, it's kind of a gotcha. It's pulling out the chair from underneath the individual before they would be seated. And it is just blatantly not a way that open government should work, because if you are not adhering to open record laws, you should be subject to a lawsuit. And you can't, in the middle of that lawsuit, then just be like, fine, You got to pay all your legal fees now that you had to incur, because I wouldn't give you these records willingly. But now, before a judge decides, I'll give them to you so I can avoid fees. That's what it is.
And this was sold under the guise of trying to eliminate, petty lawsuits. They're trying to eliminate petty lawsuits, which I can understand. But you know what? Open records law, that's the law. Yeah. And when you violate the law, there should be penalties. But you know what? The Republicans don't like penalties for things that they do. So they just kind of, who cares?
Folks, you're listening.
Screw democracy, right?
You're listening to Dueling Tangents. We don't agree. We don't believe we should screw democracy. So that's why we're talking about these things. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. The boys are back in town.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Defense attorneys got right to it when Alec Murdaugh took the stand today in his double murder trial in South Carolina.
Mr. Murdaugh, did you take this gun or any gun like it and blow your son's brains out on June 7th or any day or any time?
No, I did not.
A major winter storm still wreaking havoc on air travel. WCCO's Marie Mose is in Minneapolis.
I caught up with families who are dealing with all the headaches of cancellations and trying to rebook.
We've changed our flights three times, and now this is going to be the fourth.
It's a disaster for myself, but okay, you can't do anything more if the weather shows up like this.
More than 1,000 flights have been grounded nationwide. The U.S. is watching whether China will give Russia weapons for its war on Ukraine. Former National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster.
I don't think anybody has really a clear upper hand, but I think the Ukrainians have time on their side.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
4 Civic Media, I'm Jane Van Nair. Here's what you need to know. National groups on both sides of the abortion issue are expected to pour big money into the race for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Janet Protasiewicz has the support of Planned Parenthood, while Dan Kelly has the backing of Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. The winner of the April 4th election will determine majority control of the court, which is expected to rule on cases affecting abortion, gerrymandered legislative districts, and voting rights heading into the 2024 presidential election. The current court, with a 4-3 conservative slant, came within one vote of overturning President Biden's win in 2020. The price for Green Bay Packers tickets going up. They're rising $3 to $9 per game. Preseason tickets $1 to $5 more, depending upon where your seat is located. The total increase for the full season ranged from $20 to $100. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes is now online at knuckleheads.shop. Step into your favorite smoke shop without leaving your home. Find grinders, papers, Delta 8, and more, all from your computer or phone. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue.
Order online today at knuckleheads.shop.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined with my show partner, Brian Kelly.
I was lost in the Motley Crue.
You were. You found your way home. You found your way home, poison. Sweet home.
Poison? Motley Crue? Shit.
No, it's Motley Crue. It's definitely Motley Crue. Yeah. But it's glad to have you back here, finding your way home. Yeah, and I really miss being on the airwaves with you, my buddy. But we get to talk about a variety of different things. And this is one that I think overlaps a lot of the different topics that we've discussed here on Dueling Tangents. A lot of different topics. Because this came across... Was looking. We never know these mornings. You and I kind of touch base. We talk every day. It's not like we don't see each other or hear from each other while you're off doing all these very important things for a network. But yeah. It is not every time that we get to be on the airwaves together anymore. And so in finding out whether or not you'd be on the show, I go searching for entertaining guests to join me on the airwaves, and important stories to find as well that we can cover that go in length. And sometimes, boy, do I find a really long one. And that's what I found this morning.
Yeah, and it wasn't an Atlantic piece this time.
It wasn't. It wasn't an Atlantic piece. It wasn't anything from, who else puts out the really long ones? I'm blanking on the other outlet.
It used to be this thing called, journalism. Journalism that the people.
Well, now it's referred to as long form journalism.
Oh, it's long form journalism.
It's long form journalism.
Not just, yes. Well, he seemed angry, but had a really nice suit, so.
It's not cool. He broke the open records laws, but there's nothing we could do about him breaking the open records laws now because the court decided to gut the open records laws. No, there's other instances where there needs to be a lot of details that go into the storytelling about the reporting of incidents. And ProPublica, very much like The Atlantic, does a very, very good job at this. And saw this piece pop up today and thought immediately, well, this is something that I want to discuss. Because on yesterday's show, William Walter joined me for Wednesdays with Will. I want to thank Will for all of his appearances. He's helped out a lot.
I like that guy.
Terrific. And in you working on various things for the network and being off the air, Will has joined me quite a few times and always appreciate the conversations Will and I can have. But we talked about how politicians sometimes, they don't like to solve the problems because they rather campaign on the problems being broken. If they solve the problem, well, what are they going to campaign on then? It would be
solve the problem.
It would be almost unknown. They don't know what to do. And so one of the examples I used was immigration. Republicans have a hard time solving or actually addressing immigration reform here in America because they want to continue to run against it. Will also aptly pointed out that for a really long time, Roe v. Wade didn't get codified because a lot of Democratic politicians wanted to be able to run on protecting that right, protecting that constitutional right.
Oh, we're going to do it. Hey, you could basically talk to see anybody campaigning for black votes. Like, because that's pretty much what they do. Hey, black folks, I promise you, we're going to make it better for you. We're going to reinvest in your communities. We're going to get some good paying jobs for you guys. We're going to take, you know, you just vote us in this time, and we're not going to pull the football in front of you, out of you. That's fine.
It's a tactic that politicians use all the time. And so in the vein of using immigration as an example yesterday, it's kind of strange that this story popped up being reported by ProPublica today. And it's a story that overlaps immigration, overlaps labor, overlaps having a government that has the regulations and response that can be acceptable to our communities, and a lot of different elements in this story. Again, it's too long for even 1 hour show. It is a very well written out piece that I highly recommend everyone go and read, and it's at ProPublica, Death on a Dairy Farm.
Now, before we get into this, I just want one last bit of backstory here. Mm-hmm. And remember, we are in part of the most partisan Congress that has ever been partisan, the most diametrically opposed that Republicans and Democrats have ever been. The things to get together on bipartisan bills are very, very few and far between. Even they may disagree on we should, you know, say that the American flag is red, white, and blue. You know, they'll argue over grammar on that. The one time that every single part of the government united was when the railroad workers went on strike or were threatening to go on strike.
Yeah.
And when it seemed like labor was going to show their power. The second that happened, oh, no, we can't happen. Everybody came together, and oh, we avoided the railroad strike. What heroes we are for overriding the collective bargaining of people. So I just want to let you know the priorities of our government and people in our government are such that
screw labor. So let's go with this.
Yeah, this is an excellent point, Brian. And if you're looking for the piece outside of just ProPublica, it's also published over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Headline: Police said he killed his child in a farm accident, but who was really responsible? It's been picked up by USA Today. But the ProPublica reporters are Melissa Sanchez and Mariam Jamil. And again, I'm reading from at ProPublica, where it was initially published earlier today. ProPublica, for those who are unaware, is a nonprofit newsroom that investigates abuses of power. And you can sign up for more information about ProPublica on their website, where you can find this article. But again, USA Today Network Wisconsin also picked up the piece. So there's a few different outlets that you can find this at. But Brian, this story, again, long-form journalism that describes a father and a son who immigrated to the United States from Nicaragua. And like a lot of immigrants looking for work that individuals like you and I may not be interested at all to do, but a very large aspect of our identity here in Wisconsin, they worked on a dairy farm. The individual, Rodriguez is his last name, and is how he's referred to throughout in the piece. Jose Maria Rodriguez Uriarte, I believe, is the
Uriarte.
Uriarte. Thank you, Brian. Worked on this dairy farm here in Dane County, very close in the community that I am broadcasting from right now. And this story covers so many different aspects. The rural economy, what it takes to run a dairy farm here in Wisconsin, the nature of the shrinking small farms in the dairy industry, something that is a fabric of Wisconsin life, immigration, because these individuals came here to work, to seek a better life, for how law enforcement responds to tragedy, to incidents, trying to do the very best they can, but aren't necessarily set up with all of the resources they need to be able to put all the pieces together in an investigation, and what our governments can do to further regulate, to prevent terrible, terrible accidents. And in the piece, it asks not to refer to them as accidents, because the way that these circumstances are set up, it isn't an accident. When
it's inevitability.
Yes. And so the story surrounds Rodriguez's 8-year-old son, Jefferson, who in 2019, in the middle of the night, during a night shift, passed away because of an incident or an accident. There's a few different ways you want to describe it. It is an incident that happened. And how it was initially reported, with Dane County sheriffs responding to the event in 2019, and how authorities didn't get the whole picture. Because unfortunately, Spanish-speaking individuals don't necessarily have the ability to communicate with law enforcement that does not have the training or the requirements to find out how they're getting the true information when investigating if they don't speak Spanish. And so and even when they do speak Spanish, because the reporting officer was semi-fluent, not totally fluent, but felt that she was comfortable explaining in Spanish and trying to figure out what happened at the scene.
So basically what happened, and what was reported as to happening, was that this 8-year-old boy had his head split.
Mm-hmm.
And the story that came out of it was that that his father was working on one of the machines and backed up over him. That's what was reported.
Yes.
And that is not true.
By all instances of all the Spanish-speaking individuals that knew of what happened that night, no, that is not true. What the responding authorities here in Dane County gathered from the events was that this boy was badly injured in an incident, the father was so distraught that the responding officers had a hard time calming him down. He was attempting to dig his own grave, according to reports by the authorities at the scene that night. He was so distraught and screaming because his 8-year-old boy passed away on this dairy farm in Dane, Wisconsin, here in Dane County, about a half hour north of Madison.
This kid, these people are from Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. Right? I would imagine he came from Nicaragua with his son to try and possibly, you know, create a better life or have better opportunity and things. And I don't want to get too far into the situation, but I'm assuming that was a risk for the father and boy to do so.
Yes. The father said that throughout their journey, it was his 8-year-old son that was comforting him, saying, "Don't worry, Dad, we're going to make it. We are going to get there." And because of the deteriorating nature of the Nicaraguan government leading up to this story, they moved here to Wisconsin. They immigrated to Wisconsin after seeking asylum at the Texas-Mexico border in 2019. And they qualified for asylum. They were going through the process. They were going through the legal means. He did, like many, many, many workers here in the United States, get fraudulent paperwork so that he could work legally. He was paying taxes through, albeit a different Social Security number and different name than he originally was. There was fraud there that a lot of undocumented migrants are forced to do so that they can try to get work here. But also, in the dairy industry, Brian, there are dairy farmers here in Wisconsin that look the other way, even if they know or are not completely certain if the documents that workers give them are legitimate or not.
Some of them even facilitate the situation. I mean, when you're working in those illegally gray areas, there's all sorts of things to exploit and people to, you know, take advantage of and things like that. My point is you go and struggle all this way and you go through all this trouble to go and fix yourself up working at a dairy farm, right? And then your kid gets killed as a result of some stuff that was going on that dairy farm. And then you get blamed for it and then it gets kind of swept under the rug afterwards. In the moment of losing your son that time, I would be digging my own grave too, because, oh my goodness, I just came over here for nothing. It reminds me of the story of Job, if anything. I don't care about anyone's status. I don't care about what they're... I care that an 8-year-old boy was killed.
And unfortunately,
if we can't figure out what is wrong with this situation and fix it, what are we doing here?
We're going to share a few more of the details surrounding this story and get to what is now being contested of what were the actual events that unfolded that night here in Dane County in 2019. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Brian Kelly. If you want to share a tangent with us on this Thursday afternoon, 844-967-2789. One more segment left in the day. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in my day, Jean of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in my day, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies tonight with a few flurries possible at times. Lows dip down to about 8 above. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 21. Chance of snow showers tomorrow night. Lows level off around 17. Overcast. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Sanders with Luke and Brian. Hi, Brian, that's Luke over there. A little song by In God's Country by U2. I believe it was featured in the movie Far and Away. You ever see that movie, Far and Away?
I don't believe I have. I'm a youngin. What year did it come out?
It was when Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise were a thing. That was their movie together, and they had some racy scenes and things. Well, they're a bunch of Irish immigrants, right? And you know, there's the boomer sooner thing, and you know, where they got to basically just the cannon went off, and you got to run out and claim whatever land you wanted, and if you got it before everyone else and put your flag there, that's your land.
Okay, yeah.
That type of stuff. But it's all about this wonderful dream of, I don't know, leaving a country.
Mm-hmm.
And struggling your butt off to get yourself to this country, and because there's dreams here and you can fulfill those dreams, and if you got here early enough, they were freaking giving you land away. They were just giving you land. Here you go. I mean, unless you were black or Native American or Mexican or anything like that. But if you were of Irish descent, maybe. I mean, again, this is still the time that they still hated the Irish, but they really couldn't tell you were Irish. So here you go, land. We need people to expand this wonderful, huge country, and let's bring you. So, if you got here soon enough, you got to struggle and then succeed, and people were like, "Yay, good for you!" But now, if you do the same thing, but you're from a different country or have a different language that you speak or don't just assimilate so quickly, you can not only just work in crap, literal crap. This actually happened. Shoveling manure.
Yes. Like, so this incident occurred here in Dane County on a forklift, a skid.
That was shoveling manure.
Yeah.
So my point is back then, yay, here's land. Congratulations. You made it here. Welcome to the United States. Here's anything you want. And then now, that's obviously a lot of people had a lot of issues when they came through, but again, it's part of the American dream, and now it's, you know, screw you. I can't believe that you wanted to come here.
No, but it's not even, it's screw you, but we're going to use it as a political punching bag. We want your labor. We want you to come and work these jobs that need to be worked to keep milk prices low.
Listen, if there was a bunch of 17-year-old white kids that are just lining up outside for farm jobs, they would go to them first here. I promise you that. But there's not. There's not. There's a labor shortage. And honestly, a lot of the people coming in, like Mr. Rodriguez here, are very skilled because he was a farmer back in Mexico, not Nicaragua.
Yes.
So he's applying the skills he has here. He's already trained, too. cheap, already trained labor that you don't have to really, I don't know, report necessarily, depending on what's going on.
You look the other way if you're this farm here in Dane County. And that is the hard part, is because this man did not even know that he, through the official reporting, was being blamed for his son's death. There was no criminal investigation going on. Nobody was looking to put him in jail for what authorities were referring to as an accident. But this incident, the gentleman didn't even know that he was being held liable for his son's death. And so continuing on in the piece at ProPublica, as a part of a broader investigation into conditions for immigrant workers on dairy farms across the Midwest, ProPublica began looking into Jefferson's death last summer. We heard repeatedly from Nicaraguan community members that law enforcement got the story wrong. Rodriguez had consistently said in Spanish to friends, acquaintances, and even complete strangers that another worker accidentally ran his son over that night. That worker has also openly spoken about what happened, though the sheriff's office never interviewed him. In January, we found that worker. That is reading from the piece over at ProPublica. Brian, they did not even interview everybody on scene because, and again, this is not a fault to the Dane County Sheriff deputy that was responding to the incident. The county, required by civil rights law, is supposed to have a process to go through to ensure that somebody on the shift can speak and communicate with individuals that do not have English as their first language. This sheriff's deputy spoke enough English that she felt comfortable, but unfortunately, she lacked the ability to have the specific language translation for the medical and legal terminology that was needed to find out who was at fault.
She was not only asked to speak Spanish, she was also asked to be a grief counselor as well as someone who explained medical situations.
That is a lot to ask for from a sheriff's deputy.
And I can't believe that out of necessity, just out of sheer necessity, you don't already have someone in place to be able to translate in a very effective way. Because, again, it's not like this is the only farm where this kind of thing happens.
No. And now, because he is looking to clear his name, Jose Rodriguez is going through the court trying to get this dairy farm that no longer operates. They've had a history of sanitation complaints.
Pooping everybody's water.
And not even just the water, the milk. The potential milk that could have been contaminated as well. And so this dairy farm no longer operates. But Jose Rodriguez wants his name rightfully cleared of being linked to being at fault for his son's death. And so there is a court case that will be coming before our state courts here in Wisconsin this year to find out. And the individual that in this incident seemingly ran over Jefferson Rodriguez admits that he was poorly trained. He was given 2 hours of training on this skid that did not have the proper backup lights, did not have the proper alarms for when it is backing up, as you hear a dump truck beep when it's going in reverse. It did not have the front of lights. There was a looking of the wrong direction from the management of this farm because they knew that they had these laborers that were doing anything they could to get this work. And so there is going to be a court case surrounding what truly unfolded here in Dane County back in 2019.
I think it's really interesting to find out whether this father has any legal standing anywhere anyway. Also, can I ask the obvious question? What was an 8-year-old doing behind a manure-filled loader in the first place?
That's where he lived. That was the only housing that he had because he did not want to be able to
commute. The housing got run over?
No. He was living above the dairy farm, of the milking parlor, because the state of Wisconsin needs to fix its laws to improve these things. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Really appreciate you, big guy, being on the airwaves today. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to you all then.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Hey y'all, this is your girl Cheryl Underwood, and I want to tell you something. My digestive system used to make me feel sluggish, but those days are over. Now I feel great. That's because I increased my fiber intake with the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge, and I'm still hooked. I just took Metamucil every day for 14 days, and it's really that easy. Metamucil traps and removes the waste that weighs you down, so you feel lighter and more energetic. Now I never want to go back to that heavy feeling. Are you ready for the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge? For a coupon and daily support, sign up at Metamucil.com today.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.